It's a football. It's a football.
Hello and welcome to this special mini episode of Soccer Sense. This is Tariq joining you along with all the way from wintry Delhi, Karan.
What's up, guys?
So, Karan, dealing with the single digit temperatures out there, and how?
I think it will drop to single digits in another hour or so.
Okay. So, this is a special part about Juventus's logo change. People might be wondering, why are we talking about logo changes on Soccer Sense? Because it has nothing to do with what's happening on the pitch. But that's what we are here to discuss. That these are things that could have ramifications beyond just a branding perspective. Of course, logo changes are always controversial. We've had that with a lot of companies. And now, last week, as a Juventus fan, Karan, your first reaction on seeing that new Juve logo?
I wake up in the morning and the first update that I see on my phone is the change in logo, and I didn't think too much of it, but when I actually went online to check out what the actual result was, I was shocked quite a bit, because it was just a complete overhaul. It wasn't just a minute alteration of an existing logo or a crest, right? It was pretty much a complete overhaul of pretty much 180 years of their history. But then, you know, over the next couple of days, you know, reading the actual justifications and the actual explanations that they're given, I was more inclined to, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, because we would probably, you know, discuss further.
So just to put this in perspective, we've had teams change their logos. A lot of English clubs have done that in the recent times. The most high profile probably being Manchester City. You know, old brand which had to be kind of rebranded for a new market, because they've become something very different from what they were, let's say, a decade ago. Juventus as a team, as an entity, have not changed that way over the decade or even the last two decades, but yet they go ahead and make this change in the logo. And like we were discussing, that, you know, another team in black and white up in the north of the country that they play in also had some similar issues, and that would be Newcastle. When they talked about the renaming rights of St. James's Park and becoming the Sports Direct Arena, which is another trend in the sporting arena, right? That renaming stadiums according to brands. Again, it's a simple commercial decision, partially. From a football point of view, maybe it does not make sense, but does it make commercial sense, and can we reconcile the two?
Outrage anytime any of this happens, you know, and the reaction of a lot of the fans this time around is really shouldn't be, you know, surprised by it. Because you think about it, you know, tradition in football pretty much go like peanut butter and jelly, like they say. There's a lot of tradition to the sport, and especially when it comes to club football, there's a lot of history there, and, you know, fans are actually associated from, social level, and they're connected to their local club. So at any point of time, if they feel that, you know, this historical tradition of theirs is going to be at risk, there's always going to be that backlash from their end. But having said that, I guess we need to realize, to be honest with you, even I learned it over the last couple of days, was that, you know, currently in the kind of a globalized world that we're living in, you know, corporations, and I don't mean just football clubs, any corporations around the world, they are going to be looking at any possible minute niches wherein, you know, that can actually, you know, give them a competitive advantage. Now, you look at the scenario that Juventus are under right now. Overall, you look at it, football in Italy is not doing well, both in terms of performance on the field as well as, you know, performance off the field. You have clubs in Spain and in England and Germany, you know, basically leaving them behind financially. And you also have this sudden splurge of richness that is coming up in Asia. So there is a huge risk of, a team like Juventus really, really, you know, being left behind. So they have started working towards trying to, you know, restructure their model in terms of, you know, how they do business. Now, the biggest benefit that, they're going to gain from this is that they have basically said that it's no longer going to be just, you know, football. Yes, football is going to be the core essence of what they're going to be providing, but they're pretty much converting Juventus into a phenomenon on its own. Now, to back that up, the logo is just pretty much an indication of that. But what the work that has actually been going on simultaneously, it all started when, you know, they built their own stadium. And as we discussed in the past, the first Italian team to have their own stadium. That was the first mark of it. And they actually ended up naming it the Juventus Stadium. And what many people didn't actually realize is that without any sort of an announcement, they just pretty much silently, you know, started referring to it as the J Stadium. So the work into this actually went about a couple of years back. Right? And simultaneously, they've also acquired the land around the stadium, wherein they've pretty much started the construction work with regards to the J Village, like they say, which pretty much acts as, you know, they have a whole bunch of hotels and amusement parks and all sorts of social events can actually take place there. So they're actually trying to...
And this is, this is classically Italian, right? A land of designer brands, and you know the idea of putting the brand on something and selling the name. I mean, you take a Ferrari; they don't make all the money selling cars, which
exactly.
Kind of reflects in the philosophy that Juventus might be looking at now.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, you walk into any sort of a cosmetic store, for example, these days, you pretty much find a Ferrari cologne or a Ferrari deo spray. But you actually think about it, you know, at first glance, you might actually, you know, think as to what does this have to do with, say, the car manufacturers, right? But then at the end of the day, it's a question of diversification. But the one thing that the Agnelli did specify in his press conference was that at the end of the day, football is going to be the primary source for the entire phenomena of, you know, Juventus. It's more about, you know, what they're trying to develop here is they're trying to create a platform, especially with the logo, that it's going to be extremely easy for, you know, your regular layman to even identify it. I mean, today, for example, the best example...
And also for your regular layman tattoo artist to draw.
Pretty much, yeah. You could say that. I mean, you think of M and a lot of people just assume McDonald's, right? So they're looking to convert the alphabet J, wherein, you know, the fans are directly able to relate that to Juventus.
And this is a good time that you mentioned it, because the movie The Founder is just out, which is about McDonald's and how Ray Kroc basically looked at the name McDonald's and the idea and the brand, and he decided that he's going to own that and take it global and make it the most recognizable symbol, which is precisely what they might be trying
pretty
to
much,
do.
And you can see the results. I mean, McDonald's as an organization has pretty much survived decades, in fact, and they've actually been able to carve that identity for themselves over the last, you know, X number of years.
Okay, and before our listeners drift into this part of the podcast and think they have accidentally subscribed to Forbes or Fortune or Business Week, let's get Kyle this back onto the football.
I will say one thing. Fine, fair enough. They, you know, they change their logo, all the things. I'm still willing to, you know, make my peace with it. I just hope that it doesn't come to a stage where they change the black and white, because that would just be criminal. Come on, guys, you go change something which is, you know, historical.
All right. So as you can see, Karan, the football fan, and Karan, the hardened finance man and business manager, is trying to reconcile the 2 points, but still remains open. But as with everything at Soccer Sense, we are kind of taking a more broader view of it, and we kind of understand where they are coming from, and let's see where this goes. And of course, with the real on pitch action and the rest, we'll be back with another episode of Soccer Sense later. Thank you, Karan, for joining us, and hopefully Juve bounce back quickly enough from that Fiorentina setback last week.
I'm fine with that. I'm just more worried about Porto instead.
So that's that from this very special episode of Soccer Sense. This is Karan signing off.
All right, see you guys.
And goodbye from me. See you next week.